Hey guys, thanks for the worship. That was really, really cool. And we're just grateful for just the variety, the different kind of music, the worship that we can do. And it's just, it's really, really special to be able to worship with you guys. So thanks for doing that. Want to just remind you that we are in week three of a series that we're calling Spiritual Disciplines. And once again, this is an opportunity, and you're going to hear this throughout this series, and especially today. These disciplines are put in place so that we can connect with God on a greater level. And so when we meditate, what are we doing? We're listening to the Lord. When we're praying, what are we doing? Well, we're speaking to the Lord and we're listening back. Today, I've got another discipline that I want to share with you. It is something that I am passionate about. It is something that I practice often. And it is something that in Matthew 16, it talks about a lot of, and that is fasting. Right? Fasting. It is something that when I even say the word, you may kind of freak out a little bit because you're going, oh, please don't have that one of the spiritual disciplines. Well, guys, it is. It's one of those things that when we plug in through fasting, we are giving ourselves a greater opportunity to connect with Jesus. And there is some great things, some great benefits, some things that can happen because we fast. And I want to look at those things this morning because fasting is an important part of our walk with the Lord. You know, because in Matthew 16, it does talk about not if you fast, but when you fast, or in some other translations, as you fast. It's a really important aspect of just growing. I'm sorry, not Matthew 16, Matthew 6. Got a couple of things switched up there, but that's all right. That happens from time to time. I just want to let you know, though, that as we get into this fasting conversation today, there are no hard set rules with fasting. There's guidelines that we can follow, and there's some amazing verses, and there's scripture all over the place through the Bible that talk about fasting, from Isaiah 58, and then as we look into Matthew 6 and how it talks about when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And so these are some spiritual disciplines, some things that we can do to connect with God, to remove ourselves from the driver's seat and put Jesus in the driver's seat. And especially with fasting is one of those things, you guys, that it really does require you to deny yourself and to not deny your flesh so that God can be number one. And it is a hugely important thing. You know, with fasting, there are different kinds of fasts in the Bible. We talk about a Daniel fast, you know, where we in Daniel, he denied himself some choice foods, meat and wine, more just ate strictly vegetables and kind of hung on mat for 21 days. Jesus did a water fast when he went into the wilderness. You know, in Esther, it talks about an absolute fast where they fasted for 3 days with no drinking or eating of anything. Now, that's pretty extreme. I wouldn't go anywhere past 3 days on an absolute fast. And then there's something that Moses did, which is just a crazy supernatural fast where only God can intervene, but he didn't drink anything or eat anything for 40 days while he was up on the mountain. I mean, it's crazy what you can do with God, but then also what our bodies will allow us to do for God. And so when we fast, this is something that we are doing. We are denying ourselves, we are denying our flesh so that Jesus can be in the driver's seat. And we are in this time and in fasting, we are connecting with the Lord to a greater degree. So I want to just kind of talk about that because, like I said, there's no hard set rules for fasting, but there are some guidelines that we can follow. And I want to just look at some of these guidelines, some proper motives and some improper motives. And I want to just hit a few of the more improper motives for fasting, because ultimately with all of this stuff, I want you to check your heart. Check your heart. Remember that when it comes to fasting. Why am I fasting? Because if we're fasting for the wrong reasons, we can really lose we can lose that opportunity to connect with the Lord in greater degrees. So I want to just encourage you to check your heart as we are fasting. And one of these things, one of these reasons why we shouldn't fast is to impress other people. You know, in Matthew 6:16, this is where I got the thing switched up with Matthew 6. It's Matthew 6:16. It says this, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled so that people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward that they will ever get." Don't fast to impress other people. You know, these guys, when they were fasting, they were looking sad. They were looking hollow. You know, they put ash on themselves because they wanted to make people see how important or how impressive they were by how holy they were and how they were just dedicating themselves to the Lord. But it was more about what they wanted other people to see rather than how they were responding to Jesus and responding to the Lord. You know, there's going to be times, guys, where, you know, you're losing weight, you're fasting, and you start to slim down. People are going to probably ask you, "Hey, man, what's going on? Are you okay? You've really lost a lot of weight." I know that for me, this happens very frequently when I start to fast. Weight falls off pretty quick. And it can look like something is really wrong with me. And I tell people, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fasting." And I just kind of leave it at that. Because, you know, there are those verses say like this one says, "Don't talk about it. Don't make it obvious." You know, people are going to ask, and it's okay to share. It's not like you're going to lose that relationship by talking about it at that moment. But it's about where your heart is. Are you in a place to where you're going, "I want to press into God," or "I want to be noticed by man"? That's a big, big deal. It's a big difference. So that's why Jesus is talking about saying, don't make it about being noticed by man. Because after all, what's going to happen is that's all that you're going to get is the applause from men for being so pious and holy. But in reality, because where your heart's at, God's not even giving you the value of that time of fasting. Also, another way to just have improper motives is if you're fasting for health. You know, both to fast and to deny the food to lose the weight or to get a better body, or even on the other side where it's, "I'm not going to fast because I can't not eat because I'm afraid that if I don't eat, I'm going to get sick." In either of those cases, if the motive is for health reasons, again, check your heart. I'll tell you again, with this, for me, when I'm fasting and I do see the weight go off, I really have to check my heart constantly because I will go into this thing going, "Man, thinning up. Palmer's looking pretty good." But I got to remember real quick, this is not about that. So I actually will make a point to not step on the scale. I'll make a point to not go into that place of thinking so that I can say, "No, Lord, this is about you. I'm not going to focus on what this is doing to me physically in terms of health wise. I want to continue to focus on you. If I'm denying this food, if I'm denying my flesh, I want it to be about you, Lord, not about the benefits to me." Also on that other side of saying, you know, "I don't fast because of the health reasons," I want to just challenge you on something. You know, obviously we talk to a doctor and say, "Are there any reasons why I shouldn't fast? Or does my body just not respond well?" And I know that we have some people in our church family that this is the case, that they have to eat. But I want to just challenge, maybe instead of a full food fast, maybe during that season or during that time of fasting, it's denying something, right? And so maybe you just deny coffee. Or, you know, deny chocolate. Maybe you could do like the Daniel fast and you deny alcohol and meat. You know, something to where you're still able to eat, to have food, to have that digesting process going on so that your body is still able to function well and stay healthy. But at the same time, you're still denying your flesh so that Jesus can take the driver's seat and that you can connect and be closer to the Lord. That's what this whole thing is. So I just want to encourage you with that, is that you need to just check your heart. And if the motives are going in the wrong direction, you need to get back into the right direction. And here's some of those right motives. I want to just look at some scripture this morning, and I want to just point you in the right direction so that when you are fasting, you can kind of do that check and say, "Okay, where's my heart at?" And you can look at the scripture and go, "Okay, I am going in the right direction. So let's take a look at that really quick. There's five scriptural motives for fasting that I want you to take a look at this morning. And the first one is that you fast to hear from God. Acts 13:2 says this, "One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them.'" So we fast to hear from God. Another scriptural motive is that you fast to intercede for others. In Psalm 35:13 it says, "Yet when they were ill, I grieved for them. I denied myself by fasting for them, but my prayers returned unanswered." You know, sometimes when we fast, it's not about us. And we as a church from time to time have stepped up and have fasted as a congregation for individuals, or we have fasted for our country, or we have fasted for our church. We are standing in the gap. That's what interceding is. We are standing in the gap on behalf of somebody else or on behalf of something else. We are putting ourselves in that place. And so when we're fasting, we can be interceding for others. And this is such an important thing that we're saying, God, we're standing here representing this other individual, or we're standing here representing this community, this church, and on behalf of us, we are just wanting to lift our prayers and our fasting up to you. So we fast to intercede for others. Another scriptural motive is that you fast as an act of repentance. Joel 1:13 and 14 says, "Dress yourselves in burlap and weep, you priests. Wail, you who serve before the altar. Come, spend the night in burlap, you ministers of my God. For there is no grain or wine to offer at the temple of your God." You know, sometimes when we fast, it is saying that I've been going in one way for so long, and now I want to repent and go away from that old life. I'm turning my back to this old life. And in this time of fasting, this is a representation, God, of my heart. I am breaking away from that old stuff, and I am moving towards you. I want you, Lord. I don't want my flesh things. I don't want this lifestyle. God, I want you. So often, we in our relationship with the Lord, we can fall back into worldly things. It's so easy to do, right? So easy to give into our fleshly desires and our temptations, and we fall on those things. And from time to time, we can have a reset or a moment of repentance where we recognize, this stuff, man, I don't want this anymore. I've blown it so much, and I want to let this go. And it's a choice that we make to fast and to repent and to move forward and humble ourselves before the Lord, recognizing that we can't do this life on our own, but that we need the Lord, that we need Him in our lives. And what better way to do that than to remove our flesh from the scenario and actually allow Jesus to go into the driver's seat, allow Him to be the one that we're connecting with, so that we can be in that greater, closer place with the Lord. Fasting allows us to connect with God on a deeper level, just like meditation, just like prayer, and just like the other disciplines that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. All of these disciplines, these spiritual disciplines, allow us to connect with God on a greater level. And I want to encourage you with this fasting that we do this and practice this discipline on a regular basis. Another reason for scriptural fasting, for fasting from scripture, is that you fast for strength and direction. In Acts 14:23, it says, "Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust." You know, there might be a decision that you're making in your life. You have both choices seem good. Maybe it's to hire somebody like these guys. They're appointing church elders, church leaders, as they're going from town to town. They're building the church, and they're fasting and praying for those individuals who will step up and lead that congregation, that group of people. And so there might be opportunities for you to decisions that need to be made. You can go in one direction or the other. Or maybe there's four or five directions. Who knows? Fast. Ask God, "Lord, which direction should I take here? There's so many options. Do I go into ministry? Do I stay in my job? You know, do I move out of state? Do I take this job or this one? You know, Lord, what do you want me to do?" Fast. Ask the Lord for direction. He'll give it to you, as he did Paul and Barnabas. And this fifth scriptural motive for fasting is that you fast as an act of worship. In Luke 2:37, it says, "Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer." She worshiped God with fasting and prayer. Now, God rewarded this woman as she was doing this, because she was able to recognize Jesus as a little child. She recognized that this was the Messiah, God's son. And how close do you need to be in that relationship with the Lord to have that kind of discernment and recognition that the individual, the family that's walking in with their little child, that this actually, this baby is the Messiah. Wow. I mean, when we worship and we press in and we recognize how big our God is and how little we are, but how amazing he is, when we press into that through prayer and through fasting, it is amazing how we can worship and go deeper in that relationship with God. So there's our five things. We fast to hear from God, to intercede for others, as an act of repentance. We fast for strength and direction, and we fast as an act of worship. Now, I know that we've been talking a lot about the whys of fasting. I want to just kind of hit a little bit on the how. Not a whole lot, but I just want to hit on a little bit of the how, because we do talk about fasting in our church quite a bit. We have, at the beginning of the year, a 21-day fast where we set aside the beginning of the year to the Lord, and we do some sort of a food fast. After all, in Scripture, we're talking about food fasts. You know, it's not always going to be a food fast that you may do. It might be something like social media, or, you know, maybe it's you're denying some other aspect of life. I mean, I'm not sure, but those are those things that you are between you and the Lord. But for many of us, we're not in the place of doing a 21-day fast or a 40-day fast, not even a 3-day fast. But I want to just encourage you to try a 24-hour fast, a 1-day fast. But listen, I know that we can get kind of crazy with that, and you might look at a whole day fast and go, that's really scary. 24 hours? Man, I have a hard time just missing a meal. So what are you talking about doing a 24-hour fast? Well, let me just share it this way. Start after lunch. So after you're eating lunch, don't eat. Don't eat dinner. Sleep. And then don't eat breakfast. And then finish your fast with lunch. Half of your time fasting, you're sleeping. So you can practice that, this principle of fasting, this spiritual discipline of fasting, and half of that time, you're sleeping. So you're not even dealing with the hunger pangs that you would have by doing the fast, by starting without breakfast, and then lunch, and then dinner. No, start after lunch. Don't eat dinner. Sleep. Don't eat breakfast, and then have lunch. And then while you're fasting, you might get that hunger feeling. You're like, man, I really want to eat something. You know, get up, take a walk. This is your opportunity to recognize that as my flesh is hungry, my spirit needs food during the fast. So this is your time to pray. Get out of your seat, because when we are fasting and we're sitting and we're focused on the meal that we're not having at that moment, it can really make us even more and more hungry. But as we get up, we pray, or we take a walk, and we live in a beautiful area. We live in Durango. So guys, you can go outside and enjoy the fresh air. As you go outside, take a moment and pray, as Andy talked about. Take a moment and just meditate on the Lord. Meditate on his word. And just reflect on him, because the point again, right, is to connect with Jesus, to remove ourselves from the driver's seat and allow Jesus to get in there so that we can allow him to move in our lives in a major way. Also, guys, drink lots of liquid. That's what it's about, to have that liquid in your system. You just make sure that you're drinking more and more water so that you can stay hydrated during that time of fasting. Also, when you are done fasting, now this is for some of these people that are taking a longer fast. You know, if you're doing the 24 hour thing, you don't have to worry about, you know, re-entering into food, and changing your diet at all. But when you re-enter after an extended time of fasting, I want to encourage you to go easy on your body. You know, maybe eat some soup. Or some watery fruits and vegetables. You know, stay away from Texas tacos from Sirius, Texas. I can attest to that. After a long fast that I did, I was so craving a Texas taco that I just jumped right into it. I don't recommend that because your body is not used to digesting very complex foods, and it can wreck your system. I'm not going to go into it too much, but I was hurting, and I just want to encourage you: don't eat a Texas taco after an extended fast. It's bad news. But go easy on your body. Your body's not used to digesting heavy things, and so ease in to your regular diet after a fast. And I want to say that you can do one fast once a year, you know, the 21-day fast or an extended fast like that. But I also think that there's a tool of just fasting regularly. You know, maybe you take a day out of the week or a weekend out of the month, and you just say, I'm going to fast. Maybe it's that each month you take something different out of your diet. You know, maybe for the month of July that we're just in, you know, maybe it's like, you know, I'm not going to eat pizza for the month of July. I mean, whatever it is, you can make those choices to say, I'm going to deny my flesh in one way or another so that I can connect with the Lord on a greater level. So when you're craving pizza in July and you're like, oh man, I could just use that pepperoni pizza. You're like, nope, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go take a little time in my prayer closet, and I'm going to focus on the Lord. I'm going to reconnect with Jesus during this time. So you can do something along those lines. I think that it's important to have those moments throughout the year rather than just one big thing once a year, to have little moments of fasting throughout the year so that you can continue to stay connected with the Lord. Some final suggestions that I want you to know is that when we're doing fasting, we are, again, focusing on Jesus, His teachings, His miracles, His resurrection. This is why we fast, is so that we can get closer to the Lord. I've continued to say that through this message, and it's so important that you understand that. And like I said, for the spiritual disciplines overall, it is about connecting with the Lord. And so when you are hungry, focus on Jesus' miracles. When you're struggling during the fast, focus on what Jesus talks about in Scripture. Focus on the Word. Pay attention to what's going on in your body so that you can say, God, these are the things that are happening, and I'm wanting to stand in the gap. I'm wanting to lift these things up and grow in that relationship. Stay focused on Him. Also, you don't need to be legalistic with this. Let's say you've been fasting for 12 hours and you see a bowl of Skittles in your house. You pick up a few Skittles and you pop them in your mouth. It's not like God's going to go, well, that was a good run, man. Thanks a lot. We'll just see you later. No, it's about relationship. So you don't beat yourself up over having a couple of Skittles in the middle of your fast. Go, okay, I had a couple of Skittles. Oh, well, let's get back to it. God's not going to be freaking out about you eating those two Skittles. What he'll do is he'll celebrate the fact that you didn't eat for 12 hours. And he'll go, okay, you had a couple Skittles. That's great. Now let's focus on hanging out together for another 12 hours. God is so good. He loves you so much. He's not going to be in this legalistic frame of mind when you're fasting. And he doesn't want you to beat yourself up over this fasting thing either. It's about relationship. God is always about relationship, and He is always about wanting to connect with you as well as you through fasting can connect with Him. Scripture is clear, right? It says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. When you're doing these things, you are purposefully taking a moment to draw near to the Lord. He's not going to deny that. He's not going to deny you in that moment. He's not going to be there standing with his back to you going, no, I don't, you had Skittles. I'm done with you. God's so good. A dad's not going to do that to his kids. God's not going to do that to you or me. When we're coming to him, he's going to come near to us. And guys, as we do this, scripture's clear. It says in Matthew 6:18, in the last part of it says, your father who sees everything will reward you. Now, I don't want you to think that every time we fast for something, we're going to see the answer right away. You know, if we're praying for somebody's healing, if we're interceding, well, sometimes they may not get healed. You know, we've fasted as a church for people with cancer, and sometimes they haven't been healed the way that we've expected them to be healed. But, you know, the thing is that some of these moments, when it talks about that you will be rewarded by the Lord, truthfully, if I can say this, the reward is in the relationship. When you are closer, you are being rewarded in this relationship with just a greater understanding, a greater closeness in the Lord. And that is reward in and of itself. You see, Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected so that we could have relationship with the Father, so that we could be close. That salvation is the first step in a greater relationship with God. He loves us so much that he came to earth to die for us so that we could have relationship, so that we wouldn't be separated from him forever. And the thing is that when we are fasting, when we receive that relationship, when we receive that salvation and we start that relationship, as we continue to grow in that relationship and we go, I want to fast, I want to pray, I want to meditate, I want to do these other things we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks. I can't wait for you to hear next week with what Nick has to share about study. It's going to be amazing. But when we do these things, we are growing closer in this relationship. And as we grow closer, there's more that the God of the universe wants to unfold to us, wants to reveal to us. And it is so important that we just don't look at salvation and go, well, I'm good. I guess that's it, right? No. When we practice these spiritual disciplines, we are going to get so much closer to the Lord. Our relationship is going to get so much deeper with him. And fasting is going to allow us that opportunity to do that. The purpose of all of this, you guys, is not to manipulate God into doing our will. No. It is to connect with him on a deeper level. Will you try fasting? Are you willing today to take a moment, to take 24 hours, to take a day, to take a meal and fast? Will you do this with your family? Will you have a conversation, say, hey guys, today, kids, let's fast this snack. And during the snack time, let's just pray together. Let's just take a little bit of time to do a devotional together. You know, it might just even be that, starting as a family. Other people, maybe it's time for you to step up. You've done a 24-hour fast. Maybe it's time to maybe do a 3-day fast. Whatever it is, my question to you is this. How deep, how far, how much do you want to pursue this relationship with Jesus? Are you ready to go deeper in that relationship? I hope so. Man, I look forward to hearing the stories about fasting. I look forward to hearing about what meditation has done in your life and even prayer. You know, you can do that by just commenting in the stuff below, right? So guys, thanks a lot for this morning. I want to close this in prayer as we finish up today. And may you just continue to grow in this relationship with the Lord. And may your desire for him get deeper and deeper and deeper. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this opportunity to dig into the word, to look at the scriptural motives for why we should fast. These are some amazing things, Lord. And I just pray that as we do this, not if we do this, but as we fast, we know that you will just come so much closer to us. Will you just speak to us in our lives? Reveal yourself to us. We look forward to just growing in that relationship with you and are so excited for what you are doing in our lives and in our hearts. Lord, would you continue to move in our community, continue to speak into people's lives? Lord, will you help us in our spheres of influence? Will you help us to just be that light in the people's lives that are around us? May we encourage others and inspire others by our walk with the Lord. Our walk with you. God, we love you and can't wait to hear and can't wait to receive all that you have. And may you receive all that we can give to you. We love you, Lord, and we lift all of this stuff up in your name. Amen. Amen, guys. Well, hey, thank you for being a part of TRC Online today and hanging out with us. To just sum up and to close up, I just want to remind you to not forget about the Wednesday fun days for the kids. Also, 2 weeks from today, we're going to be having two services in the church, 9 and 11. And on July 13th, we're going to start signups for reserving your spot for one of those two services. Because, yeah, space will be limited, unfortunately. But we can't wait to get together. We can't wait to hang out with you. And also, if you have prayer requests, if you want to comment on anything, continue the conversation online, please, please, please comment in Facebook. Put those things down there. YouTube, do the same thing. Like us, subscribe to the TRC Durango channel. These are ways that you can get notified into when things are happening here at the church and when we go live on Sunday mornings. But we're looking forward to all of this stuff. And if you today want to give your life to Jesus, or if in the time of conversation you ask the Lord into your life and you've started that relationship, would you comment in our YouTube or Facebook Live section? Let us know that you gave your life to the Lord today, or that you want to know Jesus more. We want to comment. We want to connect with you and just help you out on this journey. If you're watching on the live stream or on our website, you can email us at office@trcdurango.com, and we will connect with you that way. Or you can call us 970-247-7777. Leave a message. We'll get back to you. We want to hear from you guys, and we can't wait to see you on July 19th. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next Sunday.